Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Happy New Year. I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. And this is the Holderness Family Podcast 2023 version.
Wow. I was about to.
23.
Like, that was, if I can offer feedback, that was like really podcasty and like radio. You went like full radio on that.
Thanks for the feedback. I was just trying to have a little energy with it being a new year and all.
Happy
but
new year.
Thanks for the feedback.
I love it.
No, you don't.
We just don't talk like that in real life.
Well, I think I was sort of parodying myself there. That's not how I normally sound. Got it.
Anyway.
But thanks for bringing it to
light. Happy 2023, you guys. I hope you're doing well. Today is a good one. We were on The Amazing Race, and it aired last year. And we get a lot of questions about how we got in shape and got ready. We were among the older competitors.
Well, we were the oldest combined age ever to win it, which was, I'm very proud of that, because while in general, the very end is very mental and it's memory based, and there are a lot of things that you have to do with your relationship, with your partner that will give you an advantage. It is at the core something that if you don't have a decent amount of physical fitness, you're at a disadvantage. So training was important.
And we knew going into it that we needed help.
Yes.
And it wasn't the sort of thing like you just do like push-ups and bicep curls and and then getting in shape. No, we knew enough, because of course, huge fans of the show for the entirety, that there was always going to be, you know, carrying weird stuff upstairs, like,
right,
or pushing a barrel up a hill. Like there's always those challenges.
And very rarely was it going to be, oh, you aren't a beefcake dude, you can't do this. It was more likely going to be, oh, you're going to get exhausted from having to do this for too long.
So we are writing a series of blogs. We're going to post them throughout January once a week about highlighting some of the different workouts we did. We're going to try our best to make them accessible for you at home, meaning if you're doing, you know, instead of a kettlebell, you can carry a milk jug, things like that.
And to be clear, this was inspired by how we trained to get ready for The Amazing Race. It was a different type of training for both of us. I came into this training for the race being a CrossFit bro, and before that being triathlon trainer, and before that being just a straight up runner. So I've had a lot of different episodes in my life. This one was different. I don't think I look as like jacked as I did doing CrossFit, but after doing this, I felt stronger.
Yeah, I felt I was in the best shape of my life in my 40s going into The Amazing Race. So we wanted to introduce you to Dr. Taylor Pope. He is the owner of Chain Effect, which is, he's a physical therapist and a trainer, and he helped us get in shape, and his team did there, the trainers there. Dr. Taylor Pope has been practicing outpatient physical therapy since 2010 after he graduated from UNC Chapel Hill with his doctor of physical therapy. He specializes in orthopedic and sports injuries in addition to helping non-acute patients identify latent dysfunction, very fancy words there. While sports may have brought him to physical therapy initially, he truly loves working with all types of clients and finds it particularly rewarding to help those who have been around the block, that's us, and may have had some less than desirable experiences. He is certified functional dry needling practitioner. Dr. Pope has played competitive sports since a young child, and although he's now in his 40s, he continues to train and compete on the national stage in Ultimate Frisbee.
And we're going to talk about that toward the end, but also just a little side note. We've known him for a while. He's a friend of ours. He uses lots of big fancy words, and we'll probably make fun of those.
Yeah, and also we talked about, if you know about what a Misogi is, stay tuned, and I need your help finding mine. Okay, welcome to the show, Taylor Pope. Round of applause. Taylor's in our attic right now.
Yep. Taylor's off and running. Taylor said thank you. I don't know if you heard that, but he did.
Santa's workshop, right?
I know. Right. So just to set the scene, the attic is also where we are currently at the time of this recording, getting ready for Christmas. So,
and I almost called Taylor last night because wrapping presents for me is a huge strain on your lower back. Mm-hmm. And you could even say that, right? Like, unless you activate your glutes properly when you're wrapping, right? Your upper butt muscles, if you will. Taylor knows all about those things. We'll be working out upper and doing a lift, and he'll be like, well, your hydrangeas are a little tight or whatever. Like,
hydrangeas?
I know it's a flower, but you get the point.
Anyway, we'll let you talk eventually, yeah. Taylor.
So far, he's said thank you in Santa's workshop. Let's
set him up here. I'm going to set you up with the question here. So we obviously, how we got in shape for the Amazing Race, we're going to be doing a series of blog posts about this throughout January. And again, the goal is not to inspire some sort of, you know, 6-week plan, anything like that. It's about getting in shape for life, which we set out a path for. So in your 40s, what are the challenges for getting faster, getting stronger? Because that my desire to be stronger and faster hasn't changed, but my age has. So like, what are the challenges that you see?
And feel free to talk 50s too, because I'm getting darn close to that.
Well, I would say the challenges differ a little bit based on your sex. So, you know, men actually peak in strength right around age 50. Whereas women, as soon as they get around perimenopause, there tends to be some hormonal changes that can limit your ability to really gain strength as quickly as you did before.
So you can do it. It's just going to take longer.
Yeah, definitely. You can gain strength at any age. It's just your overall maximum potential starts to decline after your peak strength age.
And so what's the average? You said perimenopause. I know we've talked about this in the podcast, but what's kind of a mean number? You said 50 was the mean number for men.
It's different for every woman. But gotcha. Once you start, missing a cycle every once in a while, you're not getting the progesterone that you would get, but you're still getting the estrogen. So, mm-hmm. You know, this is a little bit above my pay grade. And, mm-hmm. You know, we work with a lot of functional doctors who really dial in this stuff. But, you know, essentially a lot of the sort of wellness, good feelings that you have that progesterone gives mm-hmm. you start to miss those. And so it's much easier to gain weight and your shape tends to change a little bit. It's easier to gain weight around the midsection. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, during those times, strength training is super important because we all know that, you know, without the progesterone, your bone health has a tendency to suffer just a little bit. And that's why you see people or women when they get into later middle age, you know, you start seeing the onset of osteopenia, osteoporosis, and weight training is probably one of the single biggest things that you can do to slow that progression and reverse it.
define weight training. I think that's the biggest one, right? Because I've done CrossFit. I've been in your gym. I've got my garage gym. There is obviously a right way to do weight training.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we can wrap on this for about an hour easy, but what I would say is we want to be lifting heavy, and that is going to change based on where you start and what level of training you've had in the past. So heavy for someone just starting out, that might be a 30-pound kettlebell. But heavy for you, you know, I think when we brought you in and we started really ramping up your deadlifts, you were easily in that, you know, 175, closer to 200 range. You know, when we're talking about strength training, you know, I think it's easy. A lot of people come from different backgrounds. And if I think back to ninth grade, Coach Kane in the weight room where I was barely lifting the bar on a bench press, it was all about what we call bro splits. And what that means is training a couple different sets of muscles, and you do, like, let's say back and biceps,
yep,
chest and triceps, shoulders, legs, and you repeat, you do, you know, each one of those workout days is centered around those two muscle groups. And then you just alternate throughout the week and then reset it the next week. What we do in our gym is what's called functional training. So we're doing more compound movements, meaning training lots of different muscles. We're focusing on recruitment of these different functional patterns. And with that, we're really sort of building quality movement, and quality movement that is backed by strength.
So I know when we got in shape for the Amazing Race, we came to the fine folks at Chain Effect, and we weren't allowed to say, that was so funny. We weren't allowed to tell anybody what we were doing, but we told Grant at the time, we're going on a travel show and we need to just be ready for all sorts of different physical challenges.
What kind of travel show? Well, it's a race, and some people would call it
amazing.
Phenomenal,
yeah,
or and, some synonym for
and
that.
And he's like, you're going to the Amazing Race? We're like, definitely not that. So I think it was the first time I've always heard, you know, these functional movements, and definitely, you know, was doing the things that I downloaded on the internet. And I work with Dr. Harriet Hansel, so I was like doing that stuff. But to really be so focused with a very clear goal was really impactful, because it wasn't just like, it was doing deadlifts, but then it was carrying, you know, a big sandbag over your shoulder up the stairs. Sure. It was like carrying that weird stuff, but I have never felt better or stronger than doing, I mean, I would say even, I like, we went into that, I felt better, I would felt more prepared than I was probably in my peak shape in my 20s.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I know, like, peeling back the curtain on functional movements, a lot of people hear functional movements and they're thinking of like activities of daily living, whereas like, oh, I'm, you know, bringing the groceries in or putting a suitcase in the overhead compartment. When we talk about functional movement training, we're talking about basically the primal ways that the body was designed to move. So we can break those up real quick into a hip hinge, where the primary lever is bending through the hips, a knee hinge, where the primary motion is happening at the knees, pulls, presses, and those are obviously upper extremity exercises, and then rotation, anti-rotation, so your ability to control your body against rotation. And then we have the more dynamic movements, which is what you're referring to, like sled pushes, running, jumping, crawling, different movements like that. And so our goal is to first build, you know, draw bright lines around each of those different movement patterns and really make sure we're recruiting the right muscles to do that effectively, and then build strength on those patterns by adding weight and continuously, you know, pushing what you're able to do.
We will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy.
Opening up to a therapist might feel uncomfortable, cathartic, exhausting, or even exhilarating. But one thing's for certain, if you keep talking or texting with a licensed therapist, you will gain insights and uncover truths that you can only find in therapy.
Get those personal breakthroughs and judgment-free support by signing up for Talkspace.
At Talkspace.com, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours.
There's no need to commute to appointments, miss time at work, or line up childcare in order to attend sessions. It's mental health care made easy.
Talkspace is also affordable and in-network with most major insurers.
To celebrate May, Mental Health Awareness Month, and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering every listener of this podcast $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com/Holderness.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/Holderness to get $80 off your first month with code SPACE80. And to show your support for the show.
That's Talkspace.com/Holderness with code SPACE80.
To go back to what Kim said about training for the race, and I'm with her, like it was a different type of strength that I felt.
Yeah.
I was a CrossFit guy before that, and I was like, oh, look, I've got like huge quads, but it hurts to go to the bathroom every day. You know, like I can't stand up off the toilet. Like I just had like some sort of phantom pain going on. So I will say you guys did a good job with stability and making sure that we were training the right way. But here's what I want to know. And you've seen some of the race that we were on and you're familiar with the show. Is there, just like there's a South Beach diet or there's a keto diet or there's some kind of like workout, is there money for us to make like billions of dollars on the amazing race workout? Like having looked at the show and seeing that it does test endurance, it tests like
the amazing race workout,
it builds strength because of all the backpacks you have to carry around. Like did you see when you watched us on the race, did you see, oh, that was my thing I did with the weird pull or the sled push?
Well, I definitely saw some gaps in our training.
Oh, good.
Once I watched the show, and you know, for instance, Kim, when you were doing the flag and you were talking about how your arm was like about to go to sleep, you know, we have these clubs that we swing around. I think Penn, I've shown you this as part of your
the bowling pins.
Yeah, the bowling pins. It looks like a tennis warm up, and you know, we certainly could have done that. I think, you know, we did a lot of, you mentioned the farmer carries, which is incredible for building grip strength. Mm-hmm. And I think like, obviously you guys were tested having to carry, you know, 6 bottles of wine at a time, or I think you guys went with 4, right? Like 4 bottles of wine at a time up, what was it, like 2,000 stairs?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, you're testing your grip strength, and that's what we really build when you're doing heavy deadlifts, when you're carrying heavy weight, doing pull-ups, things like that. You're really sort of building, and you can test this, like if you just squeeze your hand lightly, you know, what muscles are you feeling in your arm, right? Just very lightly, you know, maybe you feel a little bit of your forearm, but then you squeeze a little bit tighter. And then maybe you're feeling a little bit more bicep, right? Mm-hmm. You're starting to feel that bicep start to flex. And then you squeeze like white knuckle as hard as you can. And you should feel that all the way up into your shoulder girdle and even maybe into your pecs. And that's the kind of recruitment that we're talking about. It's not just training one muscle. It's training a pathway of muscles. Because you gotta remember, your nerves, which leave your neck and then go to all of your muscles, they work on a pathway. And so the same nerves that are innervating your deltoid are innervating different muscles in your forearm. So by activating those patterns of movement and strengthening those patterns of movement, that's why you felt coordinated and strong at the same time. And that's what gives you that like feeling of just tightness and control in your body. And unfortunately, like when you're not training that way and you're just really isolating muscles, which has its place in bodybuilding, and when you're really trying to like build a good looking physique, I mean, there's definitely benefits to doing those type of workouts. But when your goal is to feel good, be strong, athletic, and then also not get injured, I think functional training is definitely the best way.
Okay, so you have people listening to this, and maybe they're curious about how we got in shape for the Amazing Race, but also like it's, you know, the start of the new year, and that with that comes some resolutions and commitments. What is they're listening to this, how we're going to be posting our little workouts, but what sort of things should they be searching for? What sort of gym, like what sort of equipment in the gym should they be looking at? If they don't have a gym membership, what around their house could they be doing to put these things into action?
Yeah. That's such an interesting question, because if you think back to what gyms, I mean, we're all too young to remember this, but back in the day, there weren't all of the machines at the gym.
Right.
And the machines at the gym are there for one reason, and that is to cut down on payroll. Because you have all these machines, these Nautilus machines, and you don't have to have staff to basically walk around and make sure people aren't hurting themselves, because the machines move in one plane of motion. So really, you know, the best workouts are done with
free weights.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I'm a huge fan of kettlebells. I think, you know, the ability to swing the kettlebell and move it on an arc, you know, it's obviously increasing that centripetal acceleration and essentially increasing that force as you're moving the weight.
He's using the big words again, like the upper hydrangeas.
Here we go. Your upper hydrangeas.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, essentially, you know, I'm a big fan of kettlebells, but I also think, you know, you do need some, ideally you have a hex bar or a barbell, you know, and you have some weight to put on top of that, because, you know, eventually, you know, the goal I think for anyone starting out would be, you know, deadlift your body weight and then see how much over that you can get. Right.
I don't think I can. Can I deadlift my body weight?
Well, you don't want to.
Well,
you've got the lower back thing going.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, yeah, just deadlift.
It is a goal.
Yeah. So I don't deadlift my body weight because my lower back is just a thing. So anyway, just putting that out there if you're listening to this. But I love, so avoid the machine, stick with dumbbells. We're going to be offering workouts here on holdernessfamily.com once a week in January.
Yeah, I want to talk just about some of the sort of cliff notes of what I've noticed when I've worked out with Taylor that are, I would just say, different from any other place. Like, I've done heat training, I've gone to Pilates, I've gone to the cycle situation, I've done the Orange Theory, I've done a lot of CrossFit, and anytime someone, I hear something different from what I've heard, I've done metabolic, anytime I've gone and I've heard something different, it always sticks out with me. You are obsessed with Turkish get-ups, which we can discuss or we can show people. That's one thing I've noticed about you. You are a huge fan of the sled, and you have a, I think you have a start to finish philosophy that's different. Maybe, or maybe you just say it more to me, or that I've noticed it more than other places do, which is you do the neuro hydrangea stuff at the beginning. It's the wrong word. What the hell is it? And then you go to like sheer brute strength and just sweating until you die at the end.
Neurohydrangea.
Neurohydrangea. Right.
So tell me that philosophy about kind of the path of a workout. And then also tell everybody why you're obsessed with my least favorite workout, which is the Turkish get up.
So your nervous system, like your muscles, has basically a threshold of how much it can activate. And so we want to do the most neurologically complex,
like technical stuff.
That's the word I was looking for. We want to do that stuff in the beginning when your nervous system is going to have the most the most endurance, basically. And the reason is we want you doing those movements perfectly every single time. And it's really important with things that, especially when you're moving a weight overhead, like snatches, Turkish get-ups, you know, when you're trying to lift heavy with a deadlift and you have to organize your spine. And it's really important that you're doing that because you don't want to get injured. And it's when you start to fatigue that neuromuscular system that all of a sudden you might not be activating your core, or you might not be activating the right stability muscles that are protecting you while you're doing those movements. So we start with the most sort of neurocomplex movements, and then we move on to stuff that is more, like you said, like ground and pound, or, you know, just, you know, getting your heart rate up and really making sure that you're finishing with a good sweat. And sometimes we also, you know, we're sort of building movements, right? So that's another thing you kind of touched on. We're going to do our functional movement patterns in the beginning, and we're going to make sure we hit all of those patterns. We're going to hit our hip hinge. We're going to do our knee hinge. We're going to do some pulls, some presses, some rotation, some anti-rotation. And then we're going to combine those patterns into more of our dynamic stuff, which is the sled push, which is ball slams, rotational ball slams, box jumps, things like that. We're going to do that stuff more at the end.
What do you think? I mean, we had a deadline. We were getting ready for the Amazing Race, and we knew the date we needed to go and be ready. So we had a deadline. I work really well with the deadline.
You sure do, babe.
Wait, is this new Kim, or is this...
This is everyday Kim.
Everyday
but Kim. But is new Kim still around? Like, because new what? Kim...
Oh, what? I know what he's referring to. New Kim is, I've paid for this session, yeah. And I'm saying no.
At the end of the day.
No. It's also like the giving up control Kim that I saw in The Amazing Race.
I didn't give up too much control. That was edited.
You said, like, I'm just going to go into this.
You haven't finished watching then. No. Yeah.
She never gave up control.
No.
No, we were the last day. I don't know if Taylor finished it. The last day.
Taylor hasn't even watched all of
that. That is not. Look, guys.
Taylor's turning very, very bright red right now. This is my favorite part of the day because Taylor and I don't know if you could tell, we're buddies.
Yeah.
And we like to bust each other's chops.
No. So here's the question. What do you think stands in people's way of making changes like this? Because strength training, functional training, all this stuff that's so new and different and weird. And let's face it, if you're over 40, there's a potential you're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Like, so what do you think is the biggest barrier to people making these changes?
Well, I think to start with is definitely mindset. You know, if you're going into any sort of workout program and you're looking to make like a quick hitting change, you're probably going to be going too hard, too early. And if you're coming from a place where you haven't been doing a lot, yes, you are definitely priming yourself for injury. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite little snippets that I like to tell people about is, you know, your muscles and tendons have different metabolisms. So your muscles, which every muscle has two tendons, but, you know, people will develop tendinitis, right? An inflammation of the tendon, usually right around like 5 or 6 weeks into a workout program. And a lot of times that happens because the muscles are getting strong, and that can happen. You know, you're going to improve your, like we talked about, the neuromuscular activation. The hydrangeas. You're going to improve that in the first week. So just your coordination of doing the movements is going to make it appear like you're increasing your strength. But, you know, it takes about 8 to 10 weeks for muscles to have like that cellular turnover where they're starting to increase their cellular size, and you're really getting that hypertrophy or the growing in size of the muscle. But the tendons lag behind that. And it takes about 220 days for the tendons to have that same cellular turnover. So when you're initiating a workout program, it's really easy for you to increase the weight too quickly or go too hard. And then you develop a tendonitis, which that can take a month or a month and a half to sort of go away if you're treating it.
And then you're stopping.
And then you're stopping and you're losing momentum. So I think, you know, setting a realistic expectation for long-term athletic development, mm-hmm. you know, thinking about your workout program as, you know, I'm going to be building tools for my toolbox that I'm going to use the rest of my life. And that's why, you know, there's a million different ways to do a knee hinge. There's a lot of different ways to do a hip hinge, but we want to make sure that you're understanding why you're doing those exercises. We want to make sure you're feeling it in the right place and that you have the concept of, okay, I'm doing this because I need to hit this pattern and then I can move on to the next pattern and I can cycle in all of these different exercises, but I'm organizing my workout so that I'm going to make basically a balanced body. And so yeah. I think that's really important.
So the biggest barrier would be people going too fast and then expecting results
too quickly.
And then, but knowing also that there's no like end, there's no finish line. We're like, I'm done. I don't have to do this anymore. Like you're kind of just doing this forever.
You're doing it forever. Lucky. But I do think it's important to have, you know, sort of short term and long term
benchmarks.
Goals. Yeah. Benchmark goals. Maybe you want to run a 5K or, you know, you joined an ultimate Frisbee league or, and you're getting trained up for that. Obviously a lot of different goals that you can have, but I do think it's important to have some short and long-term goals so that you can be training for something.
I think that's what I miss the most. Like I think after the Amazing Race experience, I had a little bit of I was a little down because I missed the training. I think that was I loved the race experience, like, especially after it was done.
That's the post-race blues.
The post-race blues, right? But I think it was because I didn't have that mindset to train. My issue is, like, I think a 5K is great, but I still do run here and there, but my hips start to hurt a little bit, you know? And then I don't want to do a mud run because I've done those. And
I'm going to jump in here and say that running is the most overrated thing on the planet. I'm so sorry. And I used to be a really good runner and I'm probably still a good runner. I'm with you. Like the older I get, the more my body's like, what are you doing? And it's so many steps. Why don't you stop and go do something else? So my question for Taylor is, well, first of all, he's going to be like, you're going to use high knees and then you're going to be fine. But what is, in your opinion, the most overrated form of exercise that you see issues with or that you're like, why are you doing this?
Ouch. Ugh, you're going to make me dig my own grave here, huh?
Do it. Dig. I'm going to make every runner in the world angry, but it's just because it's for me.
Let me start with running. I'm not going to say running is overrated, but I will say that I think people, again, approach running with the wrong mindset.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, okay, I'm going to go run to get in shape. But I would argue that you have to get in shape to run.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, you have to, you are doing, like you just said, thousands and thousands of steps when you go out for a run. How you do those steps. We all know that like a mile, for me, like a mile into a run, my form starts to go downhill. I'm getting tired. I'm getting winded. You know, so obviously neuromuscular, back to that like perfect movement. I'm not having perfect movement while I'm out there. That means I'm not loading my joints correctly. I'm not loading my muscles correctly. I'm not doing the things that I was doing when I went to start my run.
Right.
So I think, you know, getting yourself strong so you can run. I do think running has, you know, a lot of benefit. And you know that we program running for you. We program tempo style runs where you're running a short distance and you're working on perfect form the whole time. We program hill sprints where you're actually doing a much lower impact activity. And that's great for a lot
of people.
Because
you're going up a hill.
Yeah, because you're going up a hill. So you don't have to decelerate your joints, essentially, like when you're running downhill.
Yeah, I love running uphill. Let me be clear. Like, I love going up mountains. Yeah. And I can run up mountains. But anything flat or down, my knees are like, why, every time it hits the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the overrated types of exercises, I mean, should I say bicep curls? I mean,
yeah, like, say it.
Bicep curls or, you know, I think bench press gets a lot of people in trouble. You know, it's great for building strength, but you know, I think that we see a lot of injuries with that. I'm not against pressing. I don't want to say that. But you know, having that be sort of the hallmark of your workout program, I think you're really like missing an opportunity to build that full body strength.
So having said that, what's the most underrated workout?
Underrated workouts. Well, I think just, you know, people don't know about Turkish get-ups stuff. I don't think people are doing those.
But they are good.
I think deadlifting, especially for our society, which involves so much sitting. Mm-hmm. You know, if I think what I like to explain to people is, you know, when you do a deadlift, you are basically doing the opposite of what you do all day when you sit. You're working the opposite muscle groups. And so when you're hunched over the computer, when you're getting your hip flexors tight because you're in a seated position, when you go and do a deadlift, you're working the opposite muscles. You're working your back, you're working your glutes and hamstrings. And, you know, I think that deadlifting should be a priority for every workout. And a lot of people, this is another area where people are like, okay, let me go to YouTube to figure out how to deadlift. But you might be watching a power lifter who is trying to lift the most weight and thus is combining a squat pattern and a hip hinge pattern, or a deadlift pattern and a squat pattern. Mm-hmm. And what we do in the gym is we draw bright lines around what is a hip hinge, what is a knee hinge, and we make sure that, you know, your deadlift is hips high, back straight, torso moving down, vertical shins, versus the squat, which is hips dropping, shins moving forward, torso staying tall. And I think a lot of people, they're like, oh yeah, I deadlift. And what they're really doing is a squat, you know? And so they haven't really had that training. And once they do, and they do it the right way, they're like, oh my gosh, like, I've never felt my glutes activate this way. I've never felt my hamstrings in a workout. And I think that's super important.
I haven't worked out today, but I totally feel the need to go do some deadlifts.
I'm the same way. This is like if we were talking to a dentist, I would want to go brush my teeth immediately afterwards. I'm going to definitely go downstairs and do something.
What is the frequency in which people should be doing these functional movements? I mean, you talked about like the bro plans that had like a daily thing, but what, like ideally, like what's a realistic goal for how often people should be doing this? And then what's ideal?
I mean, I think most, the average person, or even people who are really trying to sort of up their athletic game, you can certainly get by with 2 to 3 strength workouts a week.
Okay.
You know, my ideal workout plan is I want to lift heavy once a week. And that means I'm really pushing the numbers as high as I can for all of those patterns. And then a couple of days later, after I've recovered, I'm going to do more of a ballistic style workout where I'm doing my kettlebell swings, where I'm doing my snatches and the more explosive movements. And the idea behind that is I'm taking that strength and then I'm adding speed to it. And then speed and strength equal power. Mm-hmm. And so I want to, you know, I play Ultimate Frisbee, so I want to be powerful and explosive. And so for me to do those, I'm building strength one day. I'm usually running like a hill sprint workout or a tempo style workout in between. Mm-hmm. And then I'm doing my Turkish get ups, my kettlebell swings, my sled push, some of those more explosive style movements.
What do you think about this? I don't know who put it out, but the 10,000 steps a day. Are you a fan of that?
I think building awareness around how much you move is an excellent strategy for everyone. Whether or not 10,000 steps, and you know, I've just heard some other research, and I don't know if they're just kind of Americanizing this for us, but they're like, no, it's actually all you need is 8,000 steps or 7,000 steps. And it's like, come on, people, like 10,000 steps isn't that hard. But, and you know, if you look at, and it's 6 o'clock and you've only done 3,000 steps, a lot of people are getting off the couch and you know, going out for a walk. And I think ultimately anything we can do where we're getting people to move and think about movement is great. So, you know, whether, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say like, you can just walk for all of your exercise, because really you're just moving in one plane of motion and you're moving through a pretty short range of motion, right? You're not really lifting your legs up that much when you walk. Mm-hmm. And so you're not strengthening a big range of motion when you're doing that. It's great for the cardiovascular benefit. And I have a lot of patients where that is my number one goal. I want them walking 30 minutes a day of continuous walking, which is a little bit harder than it sounds. You know, you think, oh, I'll just go for a 30-minute walk. But for a person who's deconditioned, a 30-minute walk can be quite challenging. And sometimes I tell people, look, you can't do 30 minutes, break it up into 3 rounds of 10 minutes. So in the morning, go out for a 10-minute walk. You know, lunchtime, 10-minute walk. Dinner time, 10-minute walk. Mm-hmm. And then they can accomplish, you know, that 30-minute threshold.
This is all very useful. And again, I know we've said this several times, but make sure and check out our blogs that are going to accompany this with some of our workouts in the new year. Taylor, before we let you go, I know you'd like to spend between 20 and 25 minutes talking about Ultimate Frisbee. And let's know, you guys. So Yeah, when we were kids,
when this is going to come up.
When we were kids, we played, it was called Frisbee football. That's what we called it. I did it in Boy Scouts. It was the first 20 minutes of every scout meeting, and it's football, but with the Frisbee, right? And if you look it up on YouTube, like, people have gotten good at this. There's tournaments. And so I find out that Taylor, the guy that we go to for training, is on like a team that goes to Ireland for these tournaments. So he invited me to join his league this winter. And I've done one game. And in that game, it was like a 2-hour game, first of all.
Yeah, Penn's like, it was really long.
Yeah, it was longer than I thought. And the reason why was it's like hockey. You play for 45 seconds to a minute and you're exhausted because you're really just running around the field for a long, long time. Taylor's very good. He's obviously been doing this for a while. He can throw the ball wherever he wants to.
It's a frisbee. It's not a ball.
Sorry, I did that like 20 times.
No, we had an over under bet on how many times he would
say
ball
or a touchdown.
Game. Yeah, I
cleared the over very easily.
Yeah, Penn Jr. was like, oh, it's definitely going to be at least 6. It was way more.
PC texted me and he was like, Dad keeps calling it a ball.
Well, and then I had like, there were all these really nice guys who are like, dude, welcome to the team. It's awesome. Are you aware of how to run a horizontal stack versus vertical stack, bro? And I was like, they explained it to me, but I wasn't getting it. And I wasn't getting it. And then another person explained it to me. I didn't get it. And eventually I got benched.
Got benched.
Not true.
Okay, I mean, so define benching.
He's ignoring his highlight where he took one of the best defenders on the other team deep, high pointed the ball.
It's the ball.
Now you're doing it.
You got me. Yeah, high pointed the frisbee. You know, jumped up, caught it with both hands. Immediately threw it right into the chest of the nearest person because
I'm not a thrower.
He's not a thrower.
I'm a catcher.
And then he ran in the end zone and we scored. And then he caught another goal later on. So, I mean, you're ignoring your highlights. Well, yeah.
You know me. I start a new sport. I have a list of like 20 things that I want to do better immediately. Well,
if we let Taylor, if we leave him on the microphone too long, he's going to recruit everybody to play Ultimate Frisbee.
Well, I wanted to stop with that because you know this about me. I like to try all these new sports. I'm really into pickleball. I've played padel for the first time last week and I love that. But something about Ultimate, I was gassed and I only played about a third of the game. I was really, really tired because you run really, really hard and you don't realize you're doing it because it's so much fun.
And I do a workout. I play Ultimate about twice a week. So on Wednesday nights, I play mini Ultimate and it's like 3-on-3.
Uh-huh.
And I burn 900 calories an hour.
Wow.
So
that seems high.
It's high.
Okay.
It's a ton, but I weigh a lot, so it's easier for me to burn. It's easier for me to burn that many calories.
As a middle-aged woman, I'd burn 14.
But I will say, Ultimate is great because all you need is cleats, a frisbee, and some cones, right? So, you know, the access is there. It's really accessible sport. And there's not a lot of sports that you can play when you're older. And, you know, you're not playing football. You know, I grew up playing lacrosse. Surely you can play soccer, but you know, you're not playing football and lacrosse that much when you're older. I know there's some lacrosse leagues and there's some flag football leagues out there, but you know, having a sport that you can continue to train for and play, I'm 42 now, but so I am now qualified for what's called Grandmasters. I know you like to call it like the Grand Wizard.
I know it sounds very racist.
I qualified for Grandmasters.
Danger.
And you need to rebrand that.
But there is Great Grandmasters at age 50, and then there's legend status at age 60. So there are guys out there in their mid 60s running around diving for frisbees. I mean, come on. What other sport are people doing that?
None.
Pickleball?
Yeah.
Pickleball. So what? Okay.
My mom's playing pickleball, and she loves it. She went to Costa Rica for a workshop to play pickleball.
I think that's what I need, babe, is go to Costa Rica.
You need an expensive trip?
Yeah, I think that's what really is. Okay. No, I took a pickleball lesson, my first pickleball lesson last weekend. And he said, you're good-ish, ? No, it was good. I don't know a lot about the game.
I mean, we have a group of ladies who are like pickleball champions.
I know.
Chain Effect, and they're doing personal training twice a week so yes. they can maintain their pickleball acumen.
We are going to become, we're going to rebrand ourselves. You, Taylor, me, Kim, we're all going to become obscure sports
limited
enthusiasts. Oh,
I've been there. Yeah. I've been there.
No, yeah. I actually do love that. And you can't even call pickleball obscure anymore, but I do love those kind of like secondary. So think, so when I was talking to you, like I need something to train for. I don't know if a pickleball tournament is it, but I'm going to, I think I want to train. I need a deadline. I need something.
You need a Masogi.
I know. What's so I'm that? Reading that book you told me about. It's The Comfort Crisis. So I'm reading this book called The Comfort Crisis, and he's talking about it right now. A Masogi is this, it's a yearly tradition from this man who's this like brilliant man, and he's a doctor.
It's a Japanese.
I think it's pronounced Miyagi. Are we talking about?
It's
not the Karate Kid.
But he took the name from the Japanese tradition.
Okay.
And it's this really physically, mentally, like taxing event that of your own creation.
Yep.
And the whole thing is like, there should be like a 50% chance of failure.
Yeah.
So if you're like, I'm going to run a marathon, but you've done 20 mile runs. No, you're probably going to succeed at that. If you're like, I'm going to do a marathon, but I've only ever run 4 miles before.
So this only works if it's a failure, it should be
something that like you're going to build some skills around.
Right.
You're going to challenge yourself in new ways, and you're going to create like a super memorable experience.
And you do it every year.
And you try to pick one like every year.
It'd be different every
year. So like one that I heard that was really good. It's like you get like four, you and three of your buddies. And you're going to carry a rock underwater for a mile for each person. So you're going to do, you got
with
four
breaks.
People. You're going to do, yeah.
Okay.
But good. You got four people. You're going to do 4 miles and you're going to, you know, dive down, pick up the rock, walk as long as you can on one breath, drop the rock, swim back up. Next person goes, dives down, walks as far as they can. And you just keep rotating through until you've gotten 4 miles.
And that's a Masogi?
That'd be an example.
So also, they don't want you to like. You're not supposed to like post about it because it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be for you.
That's going
to
be tough.
But then, the second there's like two rules, and one rule is I forget.
Don't die.
And then the second rule is don't die.
Yeah.
But there's some people who do some like they. Right now, I'm at the part he's going deep into the Alaskan wilderness, and so there's like a little training around it, like you have to do those trail.
Right.
You know, you have to do, but. Training for like, oh my gosh, well, what do I do if a bear attacks me? That sort of thing. So I need a Masogi.
You need a Masogi.
But I don't know if I Google search what's a good Masogi for a middle-aged woman. So The Amazing Race was it.
Right. Yeah, that was a Masogi.
Perfect.
I mean, there's a ton of things. Could we do like go up a big mountain like Kilimanjaro or something? People do that all the time.
Yeah, but I know. So here's the problem.
Don't die.
I don't die.
That's Kilimanjaro is not Everest. You're fine.
No, but also I feel here's my problem with that. I would train like because there's a balance between I would get on the stair climber. I would go on hikes and stuff like that. Cause you have to be a little bit ready for it. Right.
Oh yeah. But half of it is preparation.
Yeah. So, but I feel like that's too, maybe that's what it is.
Maybe you and I have to, you and I have to do different ones. I'm starting to realize.
But it's great if you can get your spouse involved, but you know, it should be yearly. So like, you're trying to do something sort of different every year. So a friend of mine is going to climb every 5.9 track, or I don't know what they call it, but route at all of the TRCs in the triangle.
What is
TRC? So like, they're all rated, all of the climbs.
It's
like
Triangle Rock Club. It's where me and Lola go. And 5.9s are hard.
Yeah. So he's going to try to climb in one day, all of the 5.9s and below.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so it's like 100 routes.
Yeah. And I can do the 5.6s, 5.7s if I'm really lucky.
You're probably like me. That's struggle.
I'm not. Well, it's just. Like
fingers.
It's stay close 6 foot wall. 5 dudes are not.
But also, so the part I love about it is it can't just be this thing that takes 30 minutes. It has to be this like,
right.
Because there's going to be a point in time in which you really want to give up. And that's like the mental part of it too. And that was The Amazing Race. There's plenty of times where I'm like, this sucks. So like, I need something that's not a reality show.
Well, I think too, like a big part of the book is like, We always talk about nature as being out there, And nature is in us.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything too that can be sort of centered around some sort of nature experience, I think has like added benefit, because, you know, he's talking about, you know, in, you referenced his hunting trip. He's going to mm-hmm. be in the Alaskan wilderness for 33 days, 100 miles from cell phone service in any city.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they are just like completely on their own. Luckily he's got like two experienced outdoor woodsmen, but like still anything could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even just the idea, he talks a lot about like a daily, a weekly, and a monthly threshold for your encounter with nature, right? So like how much nature, just like being outside and being in the woods, is necessary for you to feel at ease and be balanced, essentially. And it's like 20 minutes on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think, 24 hours on a monthly basis. And then on a yearly basis, it's like more than 3 days. And it's like no cell phone, you know, no interruptions. You're like disconnecting yourself from the world and connecting yourself to, or returning to nature, essentially.
I definitely, that's why I love going to the beach. Just the nature of being outside, I feel so much more centered. And here we're in the dead of winter. We're still in the South, but it's still very cold to me, you guys. It's harder for me to get myself outside, but it makes me want to train to get physically ready to do something that's just like so cool and different. That's where like a 5K doesn't do it. A mud run doesn't
like,
do it.
What about yourself out of surf?
Hang on. Yeah. Or like you're on the beach.
Oh, you can already do that.
Why don't we mix the beach with the weird underwater rock thing? And maybe it's like an overwater, like a huge, heavy, some annoying thing that you have to carry down the beach like a mile.
Yeah, that, or
like you could make up your own crazy thing.
Yeah, and you could, that's the thing. So you can make it up.
Yeah.
And you it doesn't, there's no rules about it. There's not a website you sign up for. It's like you make it up.
50-50 chance of failure though.
Yes, you
need
it to be.
That's the hard part.
And the guy who he was interviewing about it, he's like, I've failed plenty of these, you know, and he yeah. talks about, but he, like one of his was like, going around the Grand Canyon, or like through and back and through, it would take like days to do. Penn, you're going to read this book when I'm done.
Okay. It's, I'm just Googling it right now, which is kind of the same thing. Sorry. No, so, I'll read it.
So this was our, How We Got in Shape, Amazing Race, but I love the way it ended, because that's where, honestly, when I heard him talk about it, cause I'm listening to it on Audible, by the way, that's why I say I'm reading the book, but I'm really listening to
same.
It. I'm like, that's the first time I heard the, I'm like, oh, that's why I have, and I've talked about it here, after the Amazing Race, I didn't need to be back on a reality show, but I needed that sense of adventure. You're probably going to fail like that. There's always like that risk of fail. And then just like that extreme high you get when you have a little bit of success, I think. So that's what we're going to do, Penn. We're going to find a rock or something to carry. We're going to do it.
Love it.
Yeah.
Done.
It'd be cool to do it together.
That's great. But I think that what the book is telling you, that this is a personal
landmark. But people do it together though.
Okay. But what if, what I want to do is a little harder than
what do you want to do?
I love you. I love you.
I love you.
But if it's for us to, each of us to do something that's like, and I may have a little more.
So you're saying like you're 50% and be me for like 30%. I would.
Or maybe mine just needs to be a little longer or heavier. Yeah. Like maybe that would be what it is.
Yeah.
And we just kind of scale it that way.
Yeah.
But you can accomplish it together. Like make it so it's hard enough where you have to accomplish it together as a team too.
Therefore it becomes harder for you because you have to carry the rock farther.
That's fine. And I'm cool. But I also don't want to take away your, I don't want to steal your wind.
You have separate rocks.
Got it. Okay. We're going to work this out. Taylor.
But make sure you have your musculoskeletal physical first.
Uh-huh.
Your annual musculoskeletal physical.
Okay, sounds good.
You're gonna need that.
Or are you selling something right now?
Oh yeah, that's what we do.
But that's good. That's why you come up here for the podcast. The platform is yours. Tell us all about the musculoskeletal physical, please, Taylor.
Right. So you know, you go to the doctor every year and you get a physical. Right. You get your blood work. You know, for guys, we get some other fun stuff happening. For girls, I don't even know what you guys do, but
please,
I'm sure it's
for women. Please, there's a whole thing. You're fine. Go ahead.
But whoever looks at how you move,
right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Whoever measures, you know, builds some data around how strong you are, how fast you are. And so at Chain Effect, one of the things we're doing is we're building out this data-driven musculoskeletal physical. We have a Fit3D scanner that does circumferential measurements and basically creates a three-dimensional avatar of your body that you can then measure every year.
I want to do that.
Where you can see, is my body still fitting in my previous body? And it shows you like your previous outline and where your new body is. So obviously you can see great improvements, but you can also see the other side of that. So we're building out this musculoskeletal physical in a way to help people stay motivated so that you can at, you know, what are you, 41? So at 41.
That's really sweet.
At 41.
You think I'm 40? No, he did. He knows I'm not 41. I'm 46.
So at
40. Am I 46? Hold on.
We're at this point.
Yeah, I'm 46. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
But so you at 46, you know, you're taking some strength measurements, right? You're building some data. You're putting some numbers to the snapshot in time of where Kim Holderness is at 46. And who's to say that you're not a stronger version of yourself at 56?
And so that I think that was the first question I asked, like, what are the challenges? But I meant to follow up with, is it realistic for me to be stronger in 10 years than I am right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. They say it's about a 1% decline in overall strength, but you should view that more as potential, a decline in potential. So like after age 50 for guys, we should expect about a 1% decline in overall strength from then on. Mm-hmm. But if you're strength training, obviously you could still be building strength. It's just that top end potential starts to go down.
Got it.
So that's what's so important about, you know, lifting weights in middle age is that you're really building a foundation that you're going to carry into your later years. And, you know, I forget who said this. I wish I could remember, but, it's maybe Peter Attia or something like that, but he was talking about, you know, the Centurion Olympics. And basically, you know, I want to live to be 100 and I want to be active as a 100-year-old. And so what does that mean? What do I like to do? I like to travel. So I need to be able to walk up and down stairs, you know, several flights of stairs a day. I need to be able to walk for 4 or 5 hours so I can tour the city. I need to be able to lift a 35-pound suitcase into the overhead bin. And so building that strength foundation now allows you to have a much healthier, you know, sunset of your life.
That's the goal, babe.
Misogi.
I'm here for it.
You're Googling your Misogi.
No, I just ordered a Christmas present for myself that you can give me.
We've lost him. Okay.
Anyway, no, that's not true.
Taylor, thank you for being here. We're going to have feature Taylor and these blog posts coming in January. But where can people find you if they're listening to this?
You can find us at www.chaineffect.us.
I'm sorry, it starts with www.
It's not that?
Just to make
sure. http://chaineffect.us.
Chaineffect.us. Chaineffect.us.
If any of you know how to use the worldwide interweb, it's www.chaineffect.us. Sorry. And it's EFFECT.
Correct.
Got it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Effect.
Effect.
Yes.
Well, that's awesome. And I want to do that 3D scanner thingy.
Yeah. We should be have a full rollout by January 15th.
Okay.
We'll try to get
in shape by then. We're actually, if you look on our website right now, where you can pre-book to do this, to do your scan.
Okay.
So you can secure your spot right now for that.
I'm going to go online and secure my spot.
Okay. And my wife obviously would be frustrated with me if I did not mention nutrition counseling.
Yes.
Which is super important as well for anyone's fitness plan.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't realize that your insurance likely covers 100% of your of nutrition counseling.
Yes, and so she's great and very and not like super preachy about stuff. It's just like making, you know, setting up realistic.
Can you find her on Chain Effect also?
You can find her on www.chaineffect.us.
/.
But the other thing to know is that it's covered by insurance and it's 100% free for most people and it's virtual. So you can knock it out on your lunch break while you're making good decisions about what you eat. Mm-hmm. And what I like to tell people is if it was just about the information, everyone would be thin.
Yes.
Right? It's so much more than that. It's about your relationship with food. It's about making little small changes here and there. And it's about that accountability. And that's the biggest thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Amazing Race gave you guys accountability.
Yes.
Because you knew you had that end goal. And where does regular Jane and Nancy find their accountability, right? They have to figure out like what is going to drive them. And, you know, I think for me, I want to be able to beat my kids in sports when they're 18, and I'm already 42. So that means I got to really work hard because mm-hmm. I'm going to be old dad out there.
You are old dad.
Yeah. I'm going to be old dad. Yeah. I'm already old dad.
Stop it. No, you're not.
So, but anyway, so I think, you know, making sure that you have that motivation, that accountability is super important.
Well, okay. China, www.chainofeffect.us.
We're on the socials too.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Taylor, for coming by and sharing your knowledge. And I hope this was helpful for people. If you have any ideas for a good misogi for me or have any questions for Taylor, screenshot this, tag us, slide into our DMs. And thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.